Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Tonight's message is entitled Blankety Blank Blank Blank, and for obvious reasons, you may understand what that title's about. I have come across several people in the last few weeks who have had a problem with cursing, and some of them, at least two of them, have actually prayed that God would help them with this problem of cursing. And as I thought about it and thought of some other examples of people who have been cursing over the last few weeks, I realized that cursing is not just a problem with our tongue, but it's a problem in our hearts. And it usually stems from other people cursing at us. And when we have received cursing in our lives, we continue to foster that in our lives and we pass that on to future generations. But God says that we can break that chain of cursing in our lives. And so tonight I want to talk about breaking the chain of cursing and how you can have power over this and have self-control over your tongue. And you'll see a couple examples of how that works in your life. And you'll see the benefits to you, to God, and to the others around you of doing such a thing in your life. So I hope you'll stay with me to hear this message on blankety blank blank blank. If you'd like to take a look at your message notes, you'll be able to just prepare your heart for what you're about to hear from God and from the words of God on the pages of the Bible and from what I have to say about those words. And so if you would look at your message notes, there are two verses of scripture that I'd just like you to read. I'm going to play the piano for a little bit. And if you would just pray to God and just say, God, help me to understand what it is that I need to know about this topic. These last few weeks seemed to be weeks of cursing for some reason, and every day it seemed like I was exposed to people who were less than 2 feet away from me who were just cursing at the top of their lungs at other people. And thankfully it wasn't people in my family or members around me, but just as I would sit at a park and a couple came right next to me just cursing at the top of their lungs at each other and not worried one bit about who overheard them. Then we were riding bikes with our kids and stopped to watch some men pour concrete, and one of the men made a mistake and the other man just led into him with a stream of obscenities, and we decided to keep riding on. Then a third incident where we heard a man cursing at his fully grown son in his garage, and just at the top of his lungs the man was obviously drunk and just cursing with a stream of obscenities. And then these people who came to me who just said, would you pray for me that I would be able to get over this cursing? I can't seem to break this in my life. And so it just struck me that God very much has a message about cursing, and he very much cares about our words. And he wants us to know that our words really do matter. The Bible says that we'll be held accountable for every careless word that we've spoken during our time here on the earth. And so it is a very serious matter with God. But let's take a look first at where cursing starts, because some people think that if they could just get control of their tongue, they'll have control of the cursing. But cursing doesn't start with our tongue. Cursing starts with our hearts. If you look at the scriptures either on your screen or if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible, in Matthew 12, starting in verse 33 through 37, it talks about how our hearts are where our tongue gets its words. Make a tree good, Matthew says. This is Jesus is speaking, but in the book of Matthew. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. In this passage, Jesus is saying that the words on our tongue originate in our heart. Now, why is cursing so bad? Why does it bother God so much that we curse? Is it just a societal thing that there are certain words that people just don't like us to use? I don't think so. It goes beyond that. Because the cursing that people find offensive is the cursing that comes out of the hatred and bitterness in people's heart. And when they hear that, those words are sharp and they hurt. They literally can cause emotional and physical damage in our bodies. If you've ever been subject to cursing of that kind of form and you're growing up, you know what a hurt that can cause in your life. It starts very much in the heart, and it saddens God. Look at James 3, 9 through 12. This is why it's so sad to God. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see what he's saying there is that we have been created to produce fresh water. When God has created us, he's created us to praise him and to bless others. And yet when we use our tongue to curse him and to curse others, we're going against what we were created to do. We are bearing bad fruit. And God has called us to bear good fruit. He's called us, and especially if we've been saved and redeemed by Jesus, he's called us to produce a new kind of fruit. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, which involves love and patience and self-control. And that is what characterizes a Christian. So we need to, as Christians especially, be able to watch what comes out of our tongue, because we are no longer that old nature. We're no longer of that old self. We are new creatures. We are new creations. And instead of cursing others, God wants us to bless others. How do we stop cursing? Well, if cursing starts in the heart, we need to stop cursing at the heart as well. And here's a passage that Paul used when he was speaking to the Ephesians, and he was telling them to not let any unwholesome talk come out of their mouth, in their anger, not to sin. Let's take a look at it, because he gives a solution there as to how to not let that happen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, verse 29 starts with, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." A paraphrase of that would be, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now listen as we go on, and you'll find the solution at the end of the verse, at the end of the passage. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do you see the solution to cursing and getting rid of anger and rage and malice? It starts with forgiveness. Forgiveness towards others, just as Christ has forgiven us. If you were to ask, what's at the heart of Christianity? The heart of Christianity is about forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the heart of this religion that is not in any of the other religions. They may have tenets based on different kinds of love others and things like that. But at the heart of Christianity is the cross of Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Forgiveness characterizes Christianity more than any other essence of any other religion. If you were to imagine some of the greatest Christian leaders, you would think of perhaps Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, and you can't imagine people like that letting out a stream of obscenities. The Bible says in verse 26 of Ephesians, in your anger, do not sin. Now, do you think Billy Graham or Mother Teresa never got angry? Or Jesus himself never got angry? Absolutely not. They for sure got angry. But in their anger, they do not sin. And I believe it's because they understand this concept of forgiveness. They're able to forgive others before the words come out of their mouth, because they have received the forgiveness of Christ. Now, if you contrast those model Christians with some of the model atheists, one of the most famous atheists we were hearing about just today, and she was known for her vulgarities, and I've seen her speak, and the obscenities just flow from her mouth. And this is a woman who says there is no God, and who is very much characterized by very hateful words and very, very disturbing words. And I can't argue with her on that. I can't blame her for that, because she does not know yet the forgiveness of God. She has not received the forgiveness of Christ, so she's unable to extend it to others. Now, we who are Christians, we may struggle with forgiving others. It may be difficult for us, and we may still struggle with some of the old life that is still left in us. But we are called to be a different creature. We are called to be a different creation. And that's why you'll see some of the model Christians very different than model atheists or some of other religions. It's because forgiveness is at the very heart of what we do and what we are trying to be as Christians. As we forgive others, we are able to speak words of blessing, speak words of life. Let me take a look with you at one passage just about this fact of being new creatures and how it relates to our words. This is in Colossians 3, verses 7 through 10. Paul again is writing to the people of Colossus. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So God, through Paul, is saying that he wants us to be rid of filthy language. Now, God would not command us to do things that we are unable to do. He says that we can do this because we have taken off our old self and we've put on a new self, which is being renewed by our Creator. So we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, change. But it's going to start right here in our hearts. If you've been subject to cursing throughout your life, you may think it's impossible because you've grown up with this, you've seen it all your life, and now you see yourself doing it. But I tell you that you can break this chain, and Jesus gives us one of the best examples of how to do that. If you look with me at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus tells us exactly how to diffuse that power of anger in our lives that comes out as cursing. He says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Do you see what we need to do? When people come against us and make us frustrated and bitter and angry, Jesus calls us to love our enemies. When people hate you, Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. When people curse you, he says to bless those people. When people mistreat you, Jesus calls us to pray for those people. Now, that will make a difference, as impossible as it may seem. It will make a difference in your life and in the lives of those who are mistreating and hurting you, because it will diffuse all that anger that's within you. If you're able to stop, turn around and say, I'm not going to combat this with more anger and hatred. I'm going to combat it with the power of love of Christ. And love that person, forgive that person, bless that person, pray for that person, do good to that person. All of a sudden, your heart will be diffused, and that anger will be diffused. And you'll find yourself free from all that anger. You'll find those chains broken off of you, those chains that you don't want anymore and God doesn't want on you. As you pray and love them, those things will just fall off of you, and you'll be able to be free. And you'll be able to actually turn those other people around at times by the power of love. Now, sometimes you can't turn them around, but at least you'll be free from the chains, and you won't pass it on to other people. You won't be taking all that anger and passing it on to others. You'll be diffusing it. If it's not clear what Jesus is calling us to do, you can read on. In verse 29, he says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? See, you may feel, well, I can pray for and bless those who love me and pray for me and bless me. That I can do. Well, Jesus says, that anyone can do. Even sinners will do that. Even quote-unquote sinners, people who are thieves maybe, they'll take care of one another as far as thieves go. But when an enemy comes against you, Jesus says that we're to do differently. He says, even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. If you want to break the chain of cursing, it starts in our heart by forgiving, by praying for, by blessing, by doing good to others. If you want to receive some prayer for this, I want to just pray for you specifically, that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit to enable you to do this thing. And through His Spirit, He can make your life new. He can bring this about in your life. It may happen overnight, it may happen over time, but I can assure you that it will happen if you allow the Holy Spirit to take over your tongue, take over your hands, take over your feet, take over every part of your being, take over your heart, take over your hurts, take over your bitterness. God can do it by His Holy Spirit. That's why He sent His Holy Spirit when Jesus left this earth. He didn't leave us alone. He sent His Holy Spirit so that He could comfort us, teach us, guide us, correct us, help us, enable us. So I want to pray for you specifically about that. Also, if you've never received the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, you'll find it very difficult to forgive others. And if you'd like to ask for God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ right today, right now, you can do it just by saying a prayer to God, and I want to pray with you as well. I want you first just to see if there's anything else that God wants to bring to your mind about this topic of cursing. So if you would just pray while I play another song. The song's called Glorify Your Name in All the Earth, and we just want God's name to be glorified throughout the earth rather than to be cursed. And if you would just let God speak to you, and also just show you that this is possible and that He has called you to do things that are good for you and those around you, I think that will enhance our prayer time. So I'm just going to ask you to just contemplate before the Lord, just pray to Him, just ask Him to speak to you. And then when I'm done playing, I'm going to pray for you, whether you need forgiveness in your life through Christ or whether you need just help in overcoming this issue in your life. Lord, I do pray for those who struggle with this issue in their life. God, out of the same river cannot come salt water and fresh water. Out of the same mouth should not come blessings and curses. This should not be, as you've said in your word. And God, I know that it can be a struggle to change parts of our life that have been with us for our whole lives. And yet, God, I know that you have changed things in my life that were with me for many years. And through the power of Christ, you can do this as well. I just pray for those who need a strengthening of the Holy Spirit. I pray you would quicken these words to their heart, that they would desire to do it, and that they would ask right now that your Holy Spirit would fill them so that they would be filled with the love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that comes through the Holy Spirit. Lord, help them to have control over their tongues. Help them break the chain of cursing that has cursed them in their life, but will no longer curse their children. Lord, I pray those chains would be broken right now. I pray they'd be set free. I pray that the enemy would no longer have control of their tongue, but that the Holy Spirit would take control of their tongue. Even though it's a small part of their body, it steers the whole ship, just like a small rudder steers the whole ship. And God, I pray that they would be able to have their tongue be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those who have never received the forgiveness of Christ and don't know what that feels like or how that can be possible, I pray that they right now, wherever they are watching this, whether live or recorded later or years later, Lord, I pray that they would ask for forgiveness from the one who died for them, Jesus, who died for their sins on the cross and extended forgiveness to them from God so that they could come clean before God. I pray that they would simply say, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he rose again, and I believe that he will take me to be with him in heaven forever, because I confess with my mouth that he is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. If you do that, the Bible says in Romans that you will be saved. When the end time comes for this world, which it will come, there will be a punishment for all those who still have to pay for their own sins. But for anyone who puts their faith in Christ, their sins have then been paid for, and they will be free to come to heaven and be with God forever. It's not an unfair system at all. It's extremely gracious and fair of God to provide another way out, to provide us a way when otherwise we would have had to pay for our own sins. So it's the best thing that you can do, and you'll never regret it. And you'll be able to understand what forgiveness is so that you can extend it to others. And once your heart changes, then your words will change. And once your tongue changes, your whole life will change. The whole course of your life and your nature and what you do and who you are will change. God has promised it. He will do it. Thanks for coming to this message live from the ranch. If you'd like to chat with us after the live broadcast, there's a chat room at the ranch on the Talk to Someone page, or you can find me throughout the week on ICQ or at email at pokey@theranch.org. And really, please write to me, and I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you about specific issues in your life. Even this week, I had a man who came to me with some very, very deep struggles that he had in his life, and he was able to share those. And as these things are shared, it just allows us to carry each other's burdens, as the Bible says, and it allows us to start bringing these things into the light so that we can get help. So I pray that you would do that, and that you would write, and that we'd be able to walk together this walk of faith that Jesus has called us to. Thanks for coming, and I hope you'll join me again next week for another message live from the ranch.